In the name of Jesus, we come this morning thanking you, Lord, for our life, for our health, for our strength. We thank you for all you've done for us already. You blessed us to watch over us last night while we slumbered and slept. And Father, you woke us up this morning on time. And we're truly grateful unto you, and we appreciate you this day, for there's none like you. And Father, we come this morning asking for forgiveness of all our sins and wrongdoings. And Father, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask this morning that you would wash us as white as snow, cleanse us this day from all unrighteousness, and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, we thank you this morning that we don't have to beg, we don't have to toil, we don't have to work for it. We simply ask. And Father, you love us so much that you forgive us. We thank you this morning for looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs. We thank you for being on our side today in spite of us. Oh, we're grateful unto you this morning. Hallelujah. And Father, I bring every calling, every listener before you this morning, those that are coming through the archives, those that are coming through all of the social media websites, and I ask that you would bless this morning as only you can do. Father, bless them going out and bless them coming in. Meet the need in their lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, this morning we bring the sick before you. Ask that you would heal as only you can do. We know that you're the God that healeth thee. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. There's yet healing, hallelujah, in the hem of your garment. And Father, you wish that we would be in good health. You don't want us sick. So Father, remind us to eat right. Remind us to do this vessel right. And we ask this morning that you would give us the spiritual energy and the physical energy to do what's right unto this vessel. We ask this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. We ask this morning that you would bless those that are incarcerated to learn of you. Bless them that are incarcerated, God, to get a hunger and a thirst to seek after you, to find you for themselves today in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are in every branch of the military. Strengthen them, O God. But Lord, they are protecting us while we are doing whatever it is that we want to do. We are free, God. And Lord, they are there providing protection. Bless them and bless their families this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would move in a mighty way today for every veteran, those that have served and those that are serving right now. Do it for your glory, and that they come out with a testimony. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Bless every Blog Talk host that's teaching and preaching Jesus and leading others to you through your Son this morning. Bless them and their families. Continue to strengthen them in the labor that they called and chose you for, that you called and chose them for, God. Lord, we ask this morning that you would remember children and cover them in your blood today. Bless as only you can do. In the name of Jesus, bless the segment of Jesus in the morning. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless Tom. Lord, bless his going out and bless him coming in. Meet the need in his life today according to your riches and glory. Father, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Remember his heart's desires today, O God. And we ask that you would move upon him like never before in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in this holiday season of Thanksgiving, we ask that you would bless Tom this year like he has never been blessed during this season. Move on his behalf. Bless his family, God. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, we thank you this morning. Have your way here today, O God. Or move by your spirit for the sake of your people. In Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God this morning. Excuse me, the weather changed, and I'm changing, but it's all right today. So listen, I have this one song that I'm going to play this morning. It's, for me, it's one of the best songs that ever has been written in history as far as I'm concerned. Now, everybody may not feel this way concerning the song, and they banned it. They tell me they and want it played. And I just could not understand how in the world such a wonderful, wonderful song, and you don't want it played. But we remember wickedness in high places. Anybody remember that? Rulers of the darkness. And so they don't want this to get out because it's going to cause them to come down, you know, to step down from their evil ways. Yeah. And so they don't want this song to be played. I'm looking for it right now. Y'all forgive me. But I know for myself, God is good. He's able. And it's him that will see us through. We don't have to worry about it. We really don't have to worry. Well, why do I keep doing that? All right. So we're moving right along, and I'm looking for this song. Rio. This is the one, I think. Diamond Rio. God Still in America. Okay, we got to give it a second to come up. And then they want to play their commercials and everything, but it's okay. We getting to the song. We getting to it. All right, let's see if this is it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some trust in their job, some trust in their house, some trust in their bank account or whatever. But here in America, where I am, I still trust God. I still believe in God. I still see his hand at work. I can still hear his spirit speak to me here in America. His word holds true. It makes no difference what no one else thinks. And simply because they don't believe that there is a God, it does not make it be that it's not a God, just because that's the way you believe. And I would hate to believe that there is no God and then one day find out there really was. And I had the chance to serve him with my whole heart. And on that same day, I found out just how much he loved me. Even with me not believing in him, he yet cared for me. Oh, that would be a terrible thing. But I thank God I'd rather do too much than not do anything at all. I'd rather do too much unto God than to do too little. Yeah, it's just the way I think. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful unto him this morning. Yeah, he's done great and mighty things. I wanted to read just a little bit this morning from Genesis. I'm going to start at Genesis 2 and 4. And this brief verse is what it is here. And the first one, Genesis 2 and 4, says, "These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that God, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Genesis 5 and 1 says, "This is the book of the generations of Adam in the day that God created man. In the likeness of God made he him." Listen to that. In the likeness of God made he him. Yeah, he made us. And Genesis 6 and 9 says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God." They say it was an alcoholic now. But it says, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. He was a just man. Yeah. So I just wanted to read a little bit of that. I kind of started and got excited with it. And I'm just grateful unto the Lord. He's just always on time. And every time I turn around, he keep on blessing me over and over again, and I'm truly grateful. Good morning to you, Tom. Good morning to you, Sister Linda and Brother Louie. He had to run out, but he's hoping to make it back. And good morning to you, Brother Anthony, and Brother Frank in the house today. Good morning, Brother Frank. Miss you. I know you've been busy, though, okay? But I missed you, and there should be a package coming for you, Bruh Frank, because I didn't forget Walnut. Oh, I know you thought I forgot you. Good morning, Brother Frank. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. I'm wonderfully blessed. How are you?
I am blessed, and I tell you what, I blessed the boy this morning now that I hear your voice. I'm really blessed.
Same here. How you say, I was out there in the battlefield, so I came in for R&R. So I come in to, like when David, I come in for R&R, so I'm getting back on track again.
Amen. It's all good. Amen. Let me say hi, Brother Frank.
Tell her I say howdy, howdy, howdy. God bless everybody.
Amen, amen. And so we're just grateful this morning that we could hear Brother Frank, because I get busy, and what I started doing is doing some baking for people. And I got kind of caught up into that. My son called me, the pastor from Kissimmee, yesterday, and he said, "I need you to pray for me." And I was like, "Okay, I got you in the prayer." He said, "And I need to talk to you." I said, "All right, but I'm in the store right now, but I'll have to call you back." Left the store and forgot to call him. So he put something over Facebook page this morning. I guess he didn't want to say, "Well, Mama, I thought you was calling me." So I got a chance to talk with him this morning and pray with him, you know, and everything. And so it's going to be all right around here. It's going to be all right. And I just thank God. So I'm just happy to see everybody this morning and just grateful to the Lord for this Thanksgiving season. I can't worry about next year, last year. It's this year that he's bringing us into the season of celebration. And the way that I thank him is by giving. That's the biggest part of my Thanksgiving season is giving unto others because I'm thankful unto God that he gave me something. He opened a door. He made a way that I could give to others because the word said we're more blessed to give than to receive. Because I have something to give, I'm blessed. You are the one who's getting from me, you see. So I'm thankful that I'm the giver and God loves a cheerful giver and we're grateful for this Thanksgiving celebration. I bake pies, banana pudding cakes, have a sour cream pie in the oven right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, sir. When it cool, I got to deliver it this morning. I have pies on the washer in the kitchen because I have to deliver them this morning after the show. And then all next week and you know, coming up until Christmas or New Year's, I still be baking for people because some people, ladies, you know, they cook but they don't bake. And so God blessed me to be able to do both. I cook and bake. And he blessed me enough to bake that other people enjoy it, so they want me to bake for them. So I was happy this morning, and one lady, she said, oh, you're not charging enough for this. I said, well, honey, I'm baking for the pleasure of it. I'm not baking to make money off of it, you know. But I'm baking because I enjoy cooking and baking. And then I enjoy getting the phone call back, girl, can you make me one more of these? That was really good. That's what excites me. And in this season, we're giving. So I thank God. I thank God. But Frank gave already, put his business in the street. And it really blessed some people this year. And Brother Frank, they called me last night to come over on the 21st and the 25th to these senior citizen apartments.
Okay.
And I'm to take a basket over there because some of those ladies, they still cook their traditional Thanksgiving dinner at their house. So I'm blessed to go over and I take a basket over there, and I was telling the lady, I said, well, if I have enough left, I'll bring a gift card for somebody, and maybe after Thanksgiving they can, you know, have enough to go get them the items and make themselves breakfast or whatever. But I'm even in on the senior citizens, and then I got some handicapped folk, and you know, some veterans and different, you know, people.
All right.
I'm just excited about all of it. And the lady was like, well, wow, what's going on? What's happening? I said, nothing. I'm able to bless somebody. Are you crazy? I am able to bless somebody. Yeah.
Amen.
And if God loves a cheerful giver, I love being able to do it. I love being able to give. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. So, look, right quick, let's grab this song and when we come back, we'll come back with our guest speaker of the morning, none other than Mr. Tom Gambia, and we're moving right along.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all I can only imagine? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. When that day comes, when I find myself.
Than Mr. Tom Gambio this morning. Good morning, Tom. And you can tell us a little bit about you and your ministry and your work. And I'm just going to give the floor to you and just let the Lord use you how he may this morning.
Well, thank you, Sister Mac. I appreciate you bringing me on again. Well, I have my own ministry also. My website, I have watchmanforjesus.com, but I'm a former military, used to be an anti-terrorism, force protection overseas, so my background is certainly different than what I'm doing today, and I had a different mindset back then too, to say entirely. But now I work for God. I have my own radio program, and I just run a ministry pretty much, but I incorporate in my broadcast, I incorporate all the areas of going on today and link it up with the supernatural realm that happens, because what people don't realize is God is in control. Satan is God of this world, but God is king over all. And they don't understand that we're in a supernatural battle. And the battle is really between us and the demonic realm. And because Jesus Christ already won on the cross of Calvary, he's already won. Good has already won. The battle is our soul to stay with him. And this is where generational curses come in that people don't realize. There's a saying that it goes something like this. It's, we're not human beings going through a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings going through a temporary human experience. And people's got that backwards. They think we're everything's physical, but it's not. Everything's ran by the supernatural. But as far as I'm concerned, my background is completely unrelated to what I'm doing today, but now my background is working for God. So I'm pretty much running my ministry, and I no longer do what I used to do, which was, like I said, military operations, physical security, anti-terrorism. So it's completely different. Now I run a ministry. So with that said, I want to get started on what we're talking about today. And it's really what's going on not only in our country, on the biggest, highest level, but it's also going on in our individual lives. This is what runs everything. This is what is happening in our homes, in our country, in the world. This is today is what I'm going to talk about is the background of it. And it's generational curses. And we think that's just a subject that we can talk about in the Bible. But no, that's the root system of our problems today. I'm going to talk today about what causes them, how to break every chain. The generational sins and curses and patterns are really attitudes, actions, beliefs, or behaviors or habits. We inherit them from family or relatives. And sometimes we might be the start of the generational curse. If we have families, we're the beginning of it. It just depends how things are going. Some example of generational curses are abuse in the family, be emotional, physical, mental, sexual, addictions in our family, ourselves, pride, rebellion, religious beliefs. And these patterns become our very own, and we pass them on. And it perpetuates itself all through the generations. And the Bible talks about generational curses. It goes all the way to three or four generations. And what they've done by design, and what they call avatars, I don't want to go into that, but avatars are actual people that are being possessed by the demonic realm. And this is specifically fallen angels that have specialties. And those specialties include worldwide the politics, education, religion, science, the arts, economics and finance, philosophy. These areas are controlled by high-level fallen angels, literally. And they work through our governments. You see, this is up close and personal. And they work through groups like the Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, United Nations hierarchy, the Club of Rome, the Council of Foreign Relations. You see, they integrate and they control those areas worldwide. They control the kings and queens. They control the Vatican. They control these organizations that then bring those plans down to us on the highest level. However, on our family structure, when you go home or you're home, the demonic realm is also there around you. See, people would have a heart attack if they could actually see the second heaven around you, the beings that's in that second heaven that you can't see, and how God has his protective hedge around you, keeping those demons back with his angels, protecting each and every person. When we pull away from God by sinning, that veil, that protective hedge, gets real thin. You see, in our emotion, what we do allows a demon to come inside to us or to demonize us. Now, if a person's not born again Christian, you can become possessed. A Christian cannot become possessed of a demon, but they can be demonized. Lord, deliver me from temptations, you see, because this is where it comes from. Being demonized is not being possessed at all. It's completely different. So not only does it go on a worldwide scale, but also individually right in your home. That's what's going on today. And they affect our behaviors. I'll take it one more step further, but I'm not going to go into detail because this itself is a program. But through technology, using ELF transmission, electromagnetic energy, and ways they output it, long story short, the microchips, the mark of the beast, this kind of thing, they can synthesize demonic influence by technology. And they use drugs. They use other ways of opening up portals on your body, allowing the individual to be possessed. You see? So Satan is not just walking around or flying around on a broomstick. The demons are all around you, but people have no idea how they're protected by a hedge of protection by the Lord. They have no idea. When God pulls his church out, he removes that protective hedge. Whew, people have no idea what's going to happen. You see? And so God's with you every day. And when we pull away from him, then that hedge becomes thin. And the demons are able to come in when we are having those feelings or commit that sin. That's like a green light. Come in. You see? Or go ahead and operate in my life. And these are generational curses. And the demons, the Pentagon has actually been able to weaponize curses. They've weaponized witchcraft. Freemasonry enhances, pretty much pulls in witchcraft. On the high level Freemasonry, the lower level don't know, is every bit connected. It's all connected. Now, so you can ask yourself, or I can ask, just kind of stir up the thinking, have you ever had a family where the father had a problem with uncontrollable anger, for example, or was a Freemason that took a blood oath, or maybe two or three generations back, a grandmother, great-grandmother was into witchcraft, or somewhere along the line had messed with a Ouija board or tarot cards or been to a seance or any of that sort of thing? That's witchcraft. And with it, it attracts demons. I don't know, let's see, I don't know if anybody's ever worked on a farm. I used to live on one. And when you go outside, you say, Suey, 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 Suey. What happens? Well, the animal comes to you. You know, the pigs come to you. Or you got some call for the cows to come to you. You see? Or you're out and you used to be a Marine or something and you have an emblem on your belt buckle or on your car. See, these are symbols. Symbols, you see, or sounds. What that does, that attracts demons. Bells and drums attract demons. There are certain things that attract demons to your to your life. So if I play a Ouija board, it's like a beacon going out. There's a color change in your aura. There's some kind of a light that changes, a color change. If you were to take a teaspoon of or a thimble full of blood and you pour it in the ocean, that attracts sharks for a mile away. They come to that ship, that boat. You see? Demons are exactly the same way like sharks out in the world. So when you do these symbols, you do these incantations, you go to various sins, it draws those demons to you. Tattoos of a demonic entity or something on my arm or wearing a pentagram on my chest. It's cool. Look at there. But what it does is it tells the demon, I'm with you. When you see stars or movie stars or politicians or those in the demonic realm at highest level do the double horn sign. Oh, that's Texas. No, that sign is like, hey, I'm with you. It's like a club. You see, to the other human beings that are involved at the same time, these signs mean something. Symbols. Not in God's world, but they're in Satan's world. You see, people don't realize this. Now, so when you're in a, let's go on the family level, on our level. Have you ever noticed that not only do we suffer from something like persistent irritational fears or have some kind of depression, but your mother or your father also suffered from it as well? To talk about when twins have similar thoughts and they feel each other. All this is connected on the supernatural realm. You know, there's many people today that are living under bondage and chains that these sins of their forefathers brought them under. You see? And it's a generational curse. Now, in Exodus 34, verse 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting, or it's punishing, the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Lamentations 5, verse 7. Our fathers have sinned and are not, and we have borne, it means been punished for, their iniquities. You know, even Noah, he cursed the generation of Cana, of Cush down to Cush, Cana. And, of course, there came Nimrod because of what Ham did. And what Ham did, of course, was to see his father's nakedness, not cover it up and make fun of him because he's drunk and naked and went back to his brother and said, oh, look what I found. You know, and that was the curse because of that. Some people say it's because he had sex with his father. That's not at all what happened. They get with the uncover of the father's nakedness to seeing the father's nakedness. They're like night and day. People don't realize that. In any case, that curse was carried to Cana, or to Cush. And then that curse continued on Nimrod. You see, that's where Freemasonry came from, was Nimrod, the son of Cush, Cana. Yeah. Anyway, people often end up with the same characteristic as their birth parents. And not because they were around their birth parents to learn, you know, how they behaved, but because they inherited this spiritual bondage, this chain. And, you know, there's some common symptoms of a generational curse can be various things. For example, a family illness. And it just seems to walk from one person right down to the next, like cancer, is a common manifestation of a spiritual bondage. But it's not all of it is, because sometimes cancers are produced in laboratories by the satanic realm, by the physical slaves. For example, HIV was created in a laboratory, Fort Detrick, Maryland. So not all diseases are caused by the demonic realm. It's both. Continued financial difficulties. They hit roadblocks in their finances. Mental problems. Persistent irrational fears or depression. These things seem to be kind of like a persistent struggle or a problem that's handed down from one generation, may well be to the next. You see, now, the purpose of a generational curse. Well, the reason God would punish future generations with the sins of the fathers is because of God's bitter hatred for sin. Not the person, but the sin. Now, see, he would require somebody who practiced witchcraft to be put to death, in Exodus 22:18, before, you know, Jesus, the old law. He knows that one of the most prized possessions that you have is your children, Satan does. And therefore, it makes sin a lot harder to commit. That's when you realize that you're not the only one that's being punished for it. But also, your own children are going to pay for the price of your foolishness. Are we not under original sin committed by our first parents, Adam and Eve? Passed down. But see, original sin binds the evil spirits. Because original sin, by one man, this world was condemned. By one man, this world is free through Jesus Christ. You see, so original sin has its purpose. Otherwise, Jesus would have to die billions of times for each and every one of us. But see, original sin has a reason. So the reason behind generational curses, the whole human race fell then, thanks to Adam's sin for that matter. But we know that this price of generational curses has been paid. And that's the good news. That once you accept Jesus Christ, this, well, transference of bondage steps from your ancestors by means of generational curses. You can no longer receive spiritual bondages in this manner from your parents once you accept Jesus. And then you repent for your parents going back however far, and you break that chain. You see? Now, Christ was made a curse on the cross, so we can be freed from the curses that sin at both our sins and those of our forefathers brought to us, as we say in as said in Galatians 3, verse 13. It talks about that. In Galatians 3:13, for example, it says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs from a tree. Now, once you become a child of God, you no longer will the sins of your forefathers cause these curses to be transferred to your life. Because in Jeremiah 31:29-30, in those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Well, so you'd ask yourself, why so many believers who seem to be living under a generational curse? Well, that kind of got me curious too. You know, what they need to be dealing with is through is any bondage that's already passed down to you before you came into a covenant with God. The legal grounds of this curse paid for on the cross and therefore broken. But the only thing left to do is to cast out any spirits that have gained entrance before you accepted Jesus. Because you got to get rid of those spirits. And you know that non-believers are also affected. In Jeremiah 31:29-30, it actually makes it clear that believers are redeemed from generational curses. But then the next chapter, you go to chapter 32 of Jeremiah, it clearly says, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, in his name. So apparently, your generational curses are still in effect. But for who is a big question. Well, Ezekiel 18:2-3 in the Bible, King James Bible, it says, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten our sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Note the key word Israel. That's referring to those who are in covenant with God, which are us believers, not the rest of the world, you see. So it's still alive today. Now, it is possible for demons to enter a child before he accepts Jesus. Children are not immune. That's why at the beginning of the Illuminati's birth of their children, they dedicate their children to Satan. And they train, they teach them on only the three R's, you might say, but they also teach them the ways of the Illuminati, and they teach them sacrifice of humans at a very early age to find out which ones are squeamish and which ones are going to go through with the Illuminati's agenda. So their generational curse is manufactured. It is organized. It is directed. You see? And they know how it works. Can they pull out of it? Yes. Not easy at all, but they can. And some have in the past of Illuminati. That's a bloodline that controls the world today, or allowed to. And they're under control of Satan, literally. You know, sometimes when a person heads for the ministry, it seems that the devil kicks up his ugly heels. He can tell when an individual he's losing. He can tell. And there's demons all around us, and they're all interconnected by a kind of a fog, kind of like an energy force around us. They're all connected, like little transistors, if you will. Now, I don't want to go into detail. That in itself, see, there's several programs here I'm trying to condense into 1 hour. You see, so it may sound a little strange today, I guess, but people don't realize. When people go to church, right, you sit there for the nice little sermon. We go through, you know, an hour, the singing, and then the choir sings. It's all nice. And then the preacher gets up, and he gives his message for 20 minutes. They take up an offering and all this, and everybody just feels good because they went. You know, that's just a typical church. Then you have those that are spirit-filled, and conviction hits the you know, it depends on the preacher. Depends on the church personality and character, and has been conducted. Well, when the church is over, wow, I felt good that I went. But what people don't realize is that when a lot of churches today don't talk about demons because it's not good to talk about. No, because when you go to those scary shows on TV, I mean, watch scary shows on TV or movies, it's like, oh, those are nasty demons, man. I don't like talking about that. That's so scary. I just don't like that. Well, that's a problem, because this is what runs the world today, and the protective hedge is keeping them back. See, when Jesus Christ comes down here and he takes over the 1,000-year millennium, there's no demons going to be around. Satan will be around. He will not be around. He'll be chained. He will not be able to influence mankind for 1,000 years. So God's going to replenish the earth. God's going to replenish his core culture beginning on the 1,000-year millennium. Satan will be chained no longer to affect us through the 7 areas I mentioned a little while ago. You see how it works? So he starts all over again with mankind. But right now, that's not so. Right now, Satan is God of this world. He's prince of the air. You see, but he's not king. Well, we have to deal with this today. So demons are not being taught in the churches today on how to handle them and what they really are. And demons are nothing more than specks of light, energy, electromagnetic energy, little beads of light. The fallen angels are the orbs that people see. Those are fallen angels, higher level demons. Now, so demons are actual personalities. They're wicked, hateful, destroying, and the demon seeds being personalities are just like human spirits are personalities. You see, demons have a ranking structure based on frequency of vibration. You see, you have 9 orders of angels. Each 9 order of angels has a different frequency of vibration that gives it a ranking structure, a ranking. That's how it works. And they have not bodies which to dwell. The demons come from the Nephilim of the Old Testament period that died in the flood. Disembodied spirits. That's what they are. But their demon spirits are from Satan. And a clear understanding of the difference between spirit and body kind of helps us understand the work of the demons. For example, I have a body, but I'm a spirit. My spirit, that's connected to God, to the silver cord, it dwells in my body. Now I express myself in my spirit and my soul. My soul is that personality and character that is you. Separates you from all the other spirits. Like your body on earth can be seen, separates you from all the other bodies. Souls as a personality is different, and the spirit is connected to God. Body, soul, and spirit. You see, when you die, your soul and spirit goes to heaven. Your body goes to the ground. Later translated in the rapture, or translated, brought up to meet it at the judgment seat of Christ. That's for those believers. And of course, the great white throne, after the 1,000-year millennium, the body then is brought out of hell. The body is brought out of the dirt to match up with the soul and the spirit that was in hell to a supernatural translated body. It's changed. Now, this is, I don't want to get too much into this as far as that goes. But speaking about a supernatural level, these are things that they don't want you to know. They don't want you to know all this. Because then you start learning how it works. Then you learn how denouncing the sin, how to deal with the generational curse, how to fight Satan using spiritual warfare. Now, that's not being taught in the churches today, and for a reason, because the churches are controlled. That's why the Bible's been changed, except for the King James, taken out of the Bibles, not the King James, though, like Matthew 17:21. Howbeit this kind, talking about demons and higher-level demons, howbeit this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Some demons are so powerful that they can't come out of the body except by prayer and fasting. That's called deliverance. See, all this is how this really works. Now, your body is simply the house your spirit lives in, and someday your body will die and return to the dust. But my spirit, shall never die. You should return to God from which you came, or if you're not born again, to hell. You see, you express yourself with your body. If you were to take away your body, the spirit would not be able to express itself. If you cut off your tongue, your spirit would not be able to talk. Destroy the ears, you couldn't hear. You put out your eyes, you can't see. So even though your eyes are blind, your ears are deaf, your tongue is cut out, your spirit is there. But it can't see, it can't hear or speak. If these senses are taken away, these demons crave those senses. They want those senses. They want your body. And then, of course, Satan has his agenda to spit in the face of God, to cause us to sin, to be pulled away from him. You know, if you proceed to cut off your legs and your arms, destroy your sense of smell and vocal cords and all that, you still have not destroyed the spirit. But the spirit can no longer express itself the way it would in the body normally. So the spirit still has a body, but you see, but its faculties of expression have been destroyed. See, sort of now you understand a little bit, maybe you already did, but what I mean when I talk about the difference between spirit and the body, or the difference between me and my body. You see, your body is like a house. In the New Age realm, they call them physical vehicles. They got a name for it. And the demons, they also desire expression. So they're evil spirits without bodies, which they want to express themselves. That's why entertainers today, sports stars are certain ones, political leaders, sign their name over to Lucifer, to Satan, and then they're able to be dwelled by a demon, to be possessed. That demon takes over the body. So entertainers, it's kind of like it's kind of like your body's a battery, so to speak. And the battery casing, there you go. And then you overcharge it. The life of the battery, or the rechargeable battery, your body, the battery casing, wears down quicker because you overcharge it, you see? Same thing for the body. That's when 27 years of age, they have a club of 27 where the entertainers that sign their name over to Lucifer kill themselves, or go into drugs, or freak out in some way because their body can no longer handle that overcharge of that demon that's possessing them, giving them that talent. Beyonce talks about it. Melissa Ford talks about it. Country music singers that have signed their name over to Lucifer. That's how it works, you see. Now, back to generational curses. That's, you know, there's more I could talk about it, but I want to just kind of give you an idea how upfront, personal, and close that this really is. So, to kind of wrap this part of it in a nutshell, not, I'm going to continue on, but the part about the spiritual side, is I don't believe Christians can live under generational curses, but I do believe that they can be affected by spirits that have entered through the curses before they accept Jesus. You see, just like many people's past actions, before they came to Christ, landed them in demonic bondage and caused them to pick up demons along the way. So these demons are not automatically shed at the time of salvation. They often need to be cast out in some folks. It's signed their name over to Lucifer, they're possessed. They have to have those demons cast out of them, and that's called deliverance. And same is true with demons that enter in through a generational curse, a doorway to demons. Now, so how do you deal with a demon that's entered through a generational curse? Well, I hate saying after all this, it's simple. But Mark 16:17 says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. in my name shall they cast out devils. So you start to learn about your spiritual authority, and that Jesus has given us over demon spirits, and by faith you can command these spirits to leave you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, if you can't seem to get them out, you try prayer and fasting. And you know, Jesus clearly stated, some demons won't come out unless you have a higher level of faith that only prayer and fasting can bring us into. And that's where Matthew 17, 19 to 21 comes into play. That they've removed from those Bibles, except for the King James. You see, you ask yourself, why did they take that one out? You know, if you're facing heavier bondages, it's also recommended that you seek deliverance through a man or woman of God. And they're knowledgeable, working in the ministry of deliverance. And before seeking out a deliverance through another person or minister, you might want to do your own research on how that works. Now, I want to talk about six ways, or actually the three stages of bondages. And this is how people are put into bondage, in these chains. You have what's called stage one, and that's ignorance, strongholds, and deception. And the first stage of bondage is caused by ignorance. My people fell for lack of knowledge. Your strongholds. And this is the enemy's greatest weapon. And that's deception. And Satan's a deceiver. So when you understand the correct picture of who God is and who we are in Christ, it dissolves a lot of cases involving stage one bondages. You know, when we look at it, the prime weapon that the Satan uses is to put a person into a stage one bondage, and that is deception. And that's what this country is under. This is what the Illuminati, this is the seven areas I talked about a little while ago, how he keeps us tied up with TV, with even art, with churches that are lukewarm, with movies, drugs, trends, fashions, all these things to keep us busy, sports. Unfortunately, this is used by Satan to keep us busy and tied up and deceived. You know, if you keep in God's word, which you pull down strongholds, Jesus said that you shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll set you free. So your stage one type bondages are caused by deception, lies from the devil passed on through his minions, interruptions when you want to do your walk. You know, when you have an interruption, you're trying to do your walk with God. You're born again. Or you're moving away from Satan. In other words, you're stopping the sinning, and he's working for you. All right, the corruption, the conviction is great. So you start to pull away. Satan knows this. He can see it through the demonic realm that's connected. So he'll start interruptions along the way. He'll throw temptations in your way. He'll, family members that are not saved will cause you interruption. At your work, somebody's on your butt, man, every day. They're constantly on you, ragging you. Or you go out in town, you put yourself in a position, and your temptations approach. Or you get angry, or something of that nature. Satan is going to try to poke your buttons, push your buttons and poke you. You see, to bring you back. And that's where God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because ignorance is a nasty disease that we have to defeat by spreading the word of God. Hopefully, God will bring people to you that are looking for that answer. That's where divine appointments come in. You see, it might take two or three for an individual. You don't know, but God does. Now, our picture of God also, if we see God as a taskmaster, for example, we'll act like he's one. You'll see it'll also hurt the intimacy that God wants us to have. So we'll put up a wall between ourselves and God. That's when you don't see him as a loving God. He's a loving father, not a taskmaster. And if there's one person in your life that you know loves you to pieces, well, It's your spouse or parent or friend or even your pet, maybe. But you can feel that person's love, and you have a special kind of relationship with them, right? And now think, if you saw that person as a taskmaster with a cold personality, well, even though it's not true, it would kill your relationship with that person. Or if you didn't trust them, it'd kill your relationship. So think how God feels when we see him as a cold and cruel taskmaster. That's why those that are anti-God tries to get you to see that God is uncaring. Look at all the evil he's done. You see, they bring all this stuff up. And they cite examples. That's why they learn the Bible more than Christians do, so they can use the Bible against us, against you. You see? Get you to see God in a different light. That's why you have to have strong faith. And you think, ask yourself, well, why did he give his son? It's so that we could be reconciled with him. He loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son, that we could be reconciled with him. That's love. It's not a taskmaster. Like it was before Adam sinned, our relationship today with God means so much to him. He's waiting and waiting and waiting till the last one says, I accept Jesus as Savior. And when he knows the last one, he knows the end from the beginning, then you look toward the 7-year tribulation, you see? But he's patient for the last one. He's waiting. The last one will accept him as the Savior. Now, when we're in Christ, if you think of yourself as evil and worthless, just a piece of meat, you can't live like it. You know what they've done? They have established this discipline called psychology. Psychiatrists, Dr. Phil's all over the place. They've established philosophy. Philosophy is the major category. Psychology fits under it, of the demonic realm. Philosophy is called an ashram ray. Under it, you'll find psychology. In fact, Gestalt, Freud, and these were actual avatars possessed, used by the satanic realm to cover over the effects of Satan. That's supernatural. So what they've done, they've taken the effects of demons. They've taken the effects of demons and turned it into psychology. And then what they've done is they have put drugs, say, well, your child has ADHD, which is no such thing as ADHD.
Come on.
You know, because children are children. And when you feed them a lot of sugar and what have you, they're going to be hyper. They're going to do it. So the psychologist, your son really has ADHD, and we got to give him some drugs. Well, the drugs, you know, it perpetuates itself. You know, and the drugs open up portals. So that's stage one. Now, you've got stage two. Legal rights are involved. Now, stage two, bondages, have a root, and that root could be unforgiveness you have of someone else. Unforgiveness in your heart that could go back to a parent, go back to a teacher, go back to your drill instructor, go back to, you know, somebody that did you wrong. Or worse than a real unforgiveness would be when someone's raped or killed your child or your parent or something, and they're in prison and I just can't forgive them. Well, there's no difference. Unforgiveness is unforgiveness in God's eyes. You see, unrepentant sin in that person's life, things like they're hiding that they know that they know is wrong. Ties which need to be broken, like cursed objects or soul ties. Things which may need to be renounced. Vows made with Satan. Spirit guides, demons, seances, Ouija boards. These kind of things of promiscuity. These kind of things we've done. You got to have unforgiveness. You got to have forgiveness of yourself. And that's very important, especially returning veterans. They've been made to do things over there that was not even in their training. and not even in humanity. They've done it on purpose, caused our troops to do things that they know goes against. This has been done on purpose. And therefore, when they come back, it hits them. And they can't forgive themselves because of conviction, and Satan jumps on it. And then the VA pumps drugs in their system. You have 26 suicides per day of our veterans. This goes beyond just the post-traumatic stress. It's way beyond that. And this unforgiveness can be then beginning another generational curse for his family bloodline. A Freemason that takes a blood oath has just set or continuing a curse of that family. See how it works? And so unforgiveness is one of the greatest tools, the biggest tools that Satan uses. It only cuts us off from God's forgiveness, Mark 6, verse 15, but also turns us over to tormentors, which are demons. You give demons legal grounds in your life when you're bitter, unforgiving, and against others. This has a physical effect and sets up a generational curse. Unforgiveness in itself is a sin which has got to be repented of, or unconfessed sins. That's why you pray for God to remind you of any sin you've forgotten. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that let your sins be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And one thing really sticks out is unholy soul ties. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6:16, what? Know ye not that ye is joined is a harlot, is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. You see, when two people become very close together, especially through sexual relationships, that happens when the marriage is consummated. That's very important, because the soul of the husband is placed inside the woman who's the wife. In some of the same way that when Adam, that when God took a rib from Adam, he consummated that marriage by making Eve have a part of Adam, you see? It gets deep. But soul ties are formed when you have a relationship with that person, a parent, a wife, or a husband, whatever. If the soul tie is unholy, it can serve as a demonic spiritual bridge between the two persons. That's why it says the wife or the husband can sanctify the other. If you have an unbelieving husband and a believing wife, you see how it works? This goes beyond just the terminology. It's physical. It's spiritual. And this can allow demons tormenting one person to torment the other person at the same time. So when a woman thinks, well, I can bring this out of him, well, not necessarily true. Sometimes they bring that other person down. You see, that's where the Spirit of God, you got to have that praying and fasting and other people to help you pray for that unbelieving spouse, parent, brother, sister, child, whatever. This is generational curses. And these soul ties should be renounced or broken in Jesus' name. And the sins which have caused the soul ties should be repented of and forsaken. Also, if there's any gifts or objects, rings, personal gifts, these kind of things given to us from that person whom you may have an adultery or committed a similar kind of sin with, they should be sold or destroyed. Even harmless things like a watch can hold a soul tie because it carries that signal that demon will follow. It's formed from adultery, fornication, or a similar sin. That's where remarriage can be a problem. Doesn't mean it's you're going to die in sin, no. But it means that, quote, you'll have troubles in the flesh. But God will accept that repentance and that forgiveness. It can be saved. But the both must really, really work hard to break that soul tie. You have cursed objects. That's why it says in a Freemason, and he wants to break that soul tie or break that curse, everything that belongs to Freemasonry in the house has got to go. Oh, but that's my great-great-grandfather's. No, it's got to go because it came under.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's biblical to burn an occult or cursed objects. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. It's also evident in the New Testament as well, in Acts 19, verse 19. Many of them also, which use curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. Remember, art, harmony, beauty, and arts is one of the seven rays that controls mankind. People have no idea, but that's beautiful art. Look at that Sistine Chapel. Look at the way Michelangelo was. He was Leonardo da Vinci. Michelangelo were in fact have listed as being avatars of the fallen angels. Art is used to control and influence. You see, and TV and acting, that's all part of art. That's how Satan operates. People have no idea. Ezekiel 20, verse 7, then I said unto them, cast ye away every man the abomination of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So now you know, and you probably already knew, but now I can say in a form that maybe somebody people don't, now you know why they have beauty pageants. That is the purpose of them. It's a national ritual over the world, a beauty pageant. And they use the contestants who now become Miss America, whatever, on the TV for the next year for their causes. And then the men all get to watch on the TV with popcorn and Coca-Cola or whatever, the beauty pageant. And so the woman sees this woman that's been trained for this, you understand? That's not representative of American women, for goodness sakes, or European or whatever. These are specially trained, designed, created contestants. You see, so they compare themselves. So they feel bad about themselves, subconsciously. Well, go the other way. I am Mr. America, you know. And it's the same thing. So you got spoken curses. Hey, boy, you're just a dumb... That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen, boy. Get over here. You see, that's a curse put upon you by your father. This goes down the road. This counts. You'll never amount to anything. You can't do anything right. That goes beyond psychology. They're putting a curse on that kid. Unholy vows. And so forth. Now, stage three. Demons must be driven out. Stage three is when strong enough demons are encountered. They're not leaving automatically. They've got to be driven out by prayer and fasting. You know, even after a demon's legal grounds have been removed, they often don't leave on their own. They're kind of like what I say, like a long-tailed cat you're trying to drag backwards on a carpet. They just hold on for dear life. That's where prayer and fasting comes in. Some of the lesser demons, they may, but it's not that common for a stronger demon to pack up and leave on its own. That's why Jesus made it clear that there's a need for deliverance ministry. Mark 16:17. You know, if demons automatically leave a person when they've accepted Jesus, then why did Jesus tell us to cast out demons? And the remember, I forget the name of the brothers that tried to cast out demons, and the demons just turned on them. Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. But who are you? And they just lit into him. And the disciples themselves couldn't cast out a demon of that young boy. But Jesus did. How'd you do that, Jesus? How be it? This kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. You see, so the solution to demonic bondages would instead be just to accept Jesus, and demonics and demons automatically leave. But the problem is, it doesn't work like that in real life. That's why we're there at times when it's necessary to drive out demons. You know, Jesus also referred to casting out of demons as children's bread, which means it's not even for unbelievers, but for us believers as well. Prayer and fasting. You know, some demons are strong that they, well... Not only is it necessary to cast them out, but a higher than usual level of faith is required, which is only obtained through prayer and fasting. It's very important because I've said this several times. It's required when getting them out. And disciples, remember, tried to cast out that strongest demon, unsuccessful. This is very important to read. And you know also, in Mark 9:29, it says the same thing. He said to them, this kind can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Well, they've left that verse in the Bible, the other Bibles, but they've removed the word fasting. Matthew 17:21 says the same thing, but they've removed the entire verse. You see, that's why the Bibles are corrupted except for the King James. But you have to understand your authority. That's very important. And if you feel bad about yourself, you think, well, I don't have any authority. That's how Satan wants you to feel. But you know, as children of God, you're given authority over all powers of the enemy. And some people wonder why the demons seem to ignore them. Well, sometimes it's because that person doesn't have enough faith in their authority, and the demons are strong enough to resist what little authority that person is exercising. Faith is very important. Faith changes things. Peter, when he saw Jesus on the water, Peter was walking on the water. And when Peter started getting afraid, he started sinking. See, Peter didn't have the power of his own to stand on the water. It was through his faith alone, that God felt the faith, gave his body, translated his body, that he could walk on the water. But when his fear started coming into him, Peter, it's in the Bible, started sinking. He'd reach out, help me, help me, help me. You see? And that faith cleared that woman's issue of blood up. When she said, all I have to do, she's thinking, all I have to do, my faith, if I just touch a hem of his garment. And it worked. You see, that faith is very, very important. So Satan tries to kill that faith. He tries to take it away from you by generational curses. You have to understand your authority. You see. And binding and loosing. The binding is like spiritual handcuffing. It's temporary. It's very useful when a demon starts to manifest. And you aren't ready to actually cast it out. Let's say you're winding down a deliverance session. If you do that, and you need your sleep, and the demon begins to manifest and raise her ugly head again. Perhaps the demon's interfering with the deliverance process. He needs to be bound. It's temporary. Another good use of binding is to bind the devil, the evil spirit, that are preventing a person from accepting Jesus. They'll do what they can to keep you from accepting Jesus. And Jesus loosed the woman who's bound by Satan of issue of blood for 18 years. You see, he released her. You can identify the demon by its name. It's dangerous. But you can talk to that demon if you're into deliverance, because you know the person's doing it to you. It's not him or her. It's a demon inside. But be very careful that you're prayed up and fasted up, because when you start dealing with a demon straight on, you better be ready to go in the full armor of God. You see, when you start naming out the demon, because then it gets personal. Casting it out. You know, contrary to what people believe, there's nothing magical about it. It's a matter of standing on your authority that God's given you, commanding the evil spirit to come out by name, if possible, or to leave in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The name of Yeshua is not going to come out. Yahweh ain't going to come out. It's Jesus Christ is the name. Then you have demon groupings in this stage. Demons kind of group together like a fire team or a squad or a legion of demons. And there's always going to be a strong man inside that grouping. Strong man could be hate, unforgiveness. It depends. You have to find them. And the lesser demons would consist of anger or bitterness or jealousy, envy, these kind of things. See, they have a ranking structure. They're, as I said before, they have personalities. You see? Without bodies. People don't understand that. They think, oh, demons. Oh, that's Freddy. That's him on TV. Or Halloween. See, it causes fear. You see, that's what the TV is all about. That's what, you know, FEMA camps. Oh, they're going to kill us all. Blah, 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 blah. All that. Cause fear. Everybody could jump under in the 1950s. You have the fire drills and the nuclear weapon drills and all that. Cause fear, death education. You see what happens. It's all been done to us all along the way. And the demon groupings, that's the hardest part. Generational curses passed down. It's physical. It's biology. It's chemistry. It's alchemy. It's physical. Now, those are three stages of bondages. Stage one, ignorance, strongholds, and deception. And stage two was your legal rights are involved to maintain your legal rights. And it's stopped by unforgiveness, unconfessed sins, unholy soul ties, cursed objects in your home, spoken curses that you've, how we, pardon my expression, but we say flippantly, oh, go to hell. You've just cursed that person. People don't realize every idle word that we've spoken in our lives, every idle word will come back on us if we don't repent of it or address it. Generational curses, unholy vows we've taken. In the stage three, demons have to be driven out. You see. And those are three stages of bondages. Now, I can continue on. I don't. We have like 30 minutes to go. And I've got like six ways that I've quantified this, that demons can have access to your life. But I've kind of talked about that already. I've got it quantified, but... so far, I've pretty much covered in about 1 hour, about a week long. So each one of these things I've talked about in itself is a Bible study, you see. But what's the bottom line? Accepting Jesus as your Savior, having faith, and then to cut any connection you have with the demonic realm and to deal with it on a supernatural basis. But to know that you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. You see. So at this point, do you want me to continue or do you want to have questions or you want to bring people in or what do you want to do at this point?
Yes, the studio is open.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm getting an echo here. But the studio is open and... something they would like to say, or maybe or you may want to ask Tom a question. So at this time, it's open to you. Good morning, Brother Pedro. Good morning, Brother Ron. Sister Gloria. Good morning, Mr. Renee. Sister Ellen. God bless you this morning. And if you have a question or you have something you would like to add to this or just feel free to press that one. And while we're waiting for the one to be pressed, I will go to our next song. Okay, all right, Brother Anthony. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning, Radical Matt. Good morning, guest speakers this morning. Mm-hmm. Everybody listening. I'm just listening to the man of God. You know. A question, one of my questions is like you said, the soul ties, like for like relationships and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How could you tell, you know?
Well, you still have a tie with that parent, or that family member. Soul ties they're difficult. Very difficult because you probably love that person. But the soul ties, you can pray for that person, try to get that person to see Jesus Christ in these soul ties. You get that person, that's where you approach that person and you witness the love of Jesus. You pray for that person. You see. When two people become close, for example, through sexual relationships, family members, or soul ties are formed up. If the soul tie is unholy, it can serve itself as kind of a demonic spiritual bridge between the two persons. What this does, this allows a demon tormenting one person to torment the other. These soul ties have to be renounced and broken in Jesus' name. And the sins which have caused the soul ties be repented of and forsaken. The sins repented of. Also, if any gifts or objects or things or personal gifts given to us from the person that you have an adultery or committed similar sins with, they should be sold or destroyed. Even a harmless thing like a watch can hold a soul tie together, like it's formed from an adulterous affair, fornication, or similar type sin. Sometimes you may have to break that tie with that person. It depends. Are y'all there? Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A noise changed. I didn't know whether I could cut off or what. If that person keeps pulling you down, you can't hang around that person very long. You can't continuously get pulled down because you're in their position. So it's better to change them. And you're not going to change them. So what you do is you pray for them. You witness to them to get them to change. That's where witnessing to others comes into place. But those soul ties can be just how I named it. So does that help you? It's not easy to do. You know, it's not easy to do. You know, and that's why you'd like to get that person to change. And that's where you go into praying for them, having prayer groups. When you break that soul tie, it at least releases you from that bondage. But maybe you're tied in because of some unrepentant sin that you have. You know, and then that other person, well, it's in God's hands. There's things you can do in deliverance if, if that person is available, still alive. The person's not alive, you can still break that soul tie that may go back two or three generations if they were a Freemason. You'll stop that generational curse by repenting of it for the family bloodline, your great-great-grandfather or whatever. You see, you got to find out where it's coming from first, though. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. I got one more for you, too. My older son, they diagnosed him with ADHD, like you were just talking about. You know, I'm speaking to it. You know, he healed from it and everything. But, you know, for school-wise, you know, we still give him medication and stuff. And, you know, it could be deception, you know, that us giving him the medicine it help him, you know, at school, you know, to calm down during the school, and you can see, you know, that when he got it, you know, he calm, you know, he be able to take things in, but, you know, after it wear off and stuff, and then he right back, you know, jumping around and moving, and like you said, you know, candy and stuff like that, the kids, they just natural, you know, for them to be hyperactive and stuff like that. So, you know, I just, you know, just continue to ask God to, you know, move that from him, you know, that I don't want to give him medicine, but, you know, I want him to better himself in school, you know, so, you know, I kind of look over that, but, you know, I need some insight on that.
Medication is never good. The problem they've got us in is that when the medication is not given, we're considered to be poor parents. Then it comes in, well, you're in the best interest of the child, and you're not giving the medication. Well, you're a poor parent. So they kind of got us in the rock. I'm not me, but us as those that are parents, between a rock and a hard place. But the medication is never good. The medication, when it calms them down, it does, but it medicates them. You see, and then they become addicted to it. That's a problem. You know, you know, because some of the drugs they use. Go ahead. Was somebody saying something?
No.
Hello?
No one's saying anything. I think that's the baby in the background.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a problem. The medication is never good for a child. HPV shot, for example, is never good for the 9 to 12 year old. Unnatural pharmacy, pharmacia, pharmakia, pharmacy, pharmakia in Greek is sorcery. You know, prayer, and it continues on with that medication. It may calm the child down, but it's unnatural in the child's body. You know, I mean, what can I say? I guess finding out what makes the child overactive, praying over the child, breaking unholy ties, maybe, I don't know. A generational curse, maybe, I don't know. I on a personal level. Talking to the child, finding out, is there a reason why they're hyperactive? Or maybe they're just being a child as a child. But the medication they give these children can never be good on the long term because they become addicted to it. It opens up a portal for the child to become possessed. You see?
Because you know what? I'm listening. And I'm remembering back when I was a girl. There wasn't too many HDH or whatever they're calling it.
ADHD, yeah.
That I knew about, and even in my teenage days and then in my early adulthood, I never heard so much about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what I did hear when I was a girl. I heard parents training and teaching their children. I didn't see parents sitting around playing games all day. And what was on TV in the house, it wasn't a reality show. It wasn't the stories and all of this stuff. What was on in the house, if the television was on, it was on something about gospel or some documentary or something like that. The next thing is this. I wasn't able to really question my parents. They taught me at an early age, what I'm telling you to do is to help you and to help me. And as a family, I'm the head and you're the child. I've been here longer than you. It's my responsibility to teach and train you. So you don't question me. Do what I ask you to do. If we're somewhere and something bad happens and I need you to move quick, if you're not trained to obey my voice, you could lose your life and I could lose mine and the family will hurt. So you do what I ask you to do, everything will be all right. Now, if you're not doing what I ask you to do, it's not going to be all right in your world, but it will be all right in mine because I'm spanking you behind. And I may punish you too, give you another punishment to go with the spanking to remind you to obey. Well, today we don't train children. Parents doing anything they big enough to do. They talk in front of the children. And spirits travel. They move and travel. And if I'm allowing my child to be around people that are full of bad spirits, those spirits travel, even from birth. When I brought my children home from the hospital, in and everybody was not welcome in my house. I'm like, you come to see the baby. You'll see the baby when I bring the baby outside, but you won't see the baby in my house. And even until this day, I have to be led to just open my door and let people in. Spirits travel. They leap and jump. They move. I'm telling you the truth. One thing I heard him say, well, two things really, but one thing he said was this, we got to fast and pray. And you got to go to God and make sure you're fasted up, you're prayed up, and you have on the whole armor and you're ready, and you can cast those demons out. Spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness, I've said for years. That Mason thing, I've said for years, Eastern Star and all this kind of stuff, they bring an image to make you think that it's a good organization. But in all reality, for me, any secret order, I can't be a part of it. Because for me, there was a feeling. In the beginning, God, Jesus was the Word. And God made the Word flesh, so it's no more secret. Let us know. He already told us. That was the only secret I felt wasn't revealed. So now, if you got some stuff I got to do that no one else can know about, I don't need to be a part of that. That's the devil. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood. Principalities, rulers of the darkness, wickedness in high places. You got to be careful. This is why I don't understand how people still dressing up, going to church with all this crazy stuff, when spirits and demons and the devil is real. He comes seeking whom he may devour. You're not watching as well as praying because you're too busy doing stuff for outward appearance. This is why I don't understand people who fight against walking in the Spirit of God, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. It's too much out here. Our children are at stake. My daughter says she had a dream, and the parents was at a big party. Oh, and millions of parents. She said, and they was jamming. They was partying and getting down. While they were attending the party, the devil come and was snatching their children down in a huge hole. She said, and when she looked back again, those kids who barely escaped, he was sending demons after them to rape them, you know, molest them, mess their mind up, twist their head around. He was doing all kind of stuff to those kids there because he wanted to get them too. So while we're doing all this other stuff, and we're fixing up the outward appearance, and trying to show other people who we are and what we got and how good we can be, the enemy taking over. Your house, your children, your wife, your family, yeah, because we're not watching as well as praying. And we got to fast in there and cover our house. And one last thing here, Tom, you said this and I almost jumped out the chair. There is no way if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no way you're no longer cursed. You can't be cursed. So something is going on there. A cycle is going on there. Fast and pray.
Yep.
Fast and pray. Get in the Word. Ask God to help you to put on the whole armor. If it's your husband, if it's your wife, that thing need to go. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not only did God do it for us spiritually, but physically. You've made some changes. I don't even look the same today as I did in 1993. Not because of the times and I'm older. No, I mean my physical features changed. Mm-hmm. I saw the difference. I saw the difference. And I was like, where is Barbara? Where did Barbara go? The new and improved Barbara. A much better Barbara. A Barbara that God can use to bless others. Yeah, a Barbara that children love. And she loved children. All right, Minister Renee, good morning. God bless you. How are you?
I'm muted, Minister Renee.
Good morning.
Code 904-418.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I am blessed.
Wonderful, wonderful. I was listening in and I was really, really, really taking it in and enjoying the speech that the man of God preaching and teaching. What he was saying is so true, and it made me go back and remember when I was in my previous marriage when he was talking about the demons and knowing your authority and how to deal with them. And for years I lived in the house with this man that God did not ordain me to marry. And a lot of times when we do things out of the will of God, we don't know the things that are going to come against us, because the enemy is not going to show you but a partial picture. And the picture that he's going to show you, he's going to make it look like it's what you want. It's what's best for you until you walk into it and you don't know you walked into a trap. So that's why I was able to listen so intensely because what he was saying reminded me of the things that I had to go through because of my disobedience to God, and those demons and the spirits that will come against you is so true and it's so real even today. And I remember one night my daughter came in my room and she tapped me on my foot and woke me up out of my sleep, and it scared me. And I said, oh my God, what are you doing up this time of morning? And she said, Mama, get up, I hear something in the kitchen. I hear somebody like they're in there moving the dishes in the cabinet. I see somebody walking through the house. I got up and there's nobody there. I said, go to bed, Shalon, it's going to be okay. There's nobody there. Just pray and go back to sleep. But it was more to it than what I realized at that moment, because right after that, a few days, maybe a few weeks after, I started seeing dark spirits walking in the house. I started seeing spirits behind me following me, and I would turn around, who's in here? And no one's there. And I started seeing these things, and nobody really believed me. And I started praying. I started fasting. I started anointing my house, anointing me, anointing my children. Everything that the pastor told me to do, I did. But it wasn't enough because of the fact I wasn't using my full authority and the power that was in me. And then I was going through so much and holding so much anger against my husband because he wasn't saved and I was living in abuse. So I really couldn't even fight this demon by myself. But I remember going to a service, and I walked in and I sat in the back, and the woman of God was preaching when I walked in. And she stopped her sermon when I walked in and sat down, and she said, woman of God, I see you in the spirit even now in your house. You have been going through so much torment till you can't sleep at night. There are demons that have been assigned to you to destroy you, and one of them you've been trying to fight and pray against, and you can't pray against this one because it's been in your house for years. And I looked around. I'm like, who's she talking to? And she said it right out. Woman of God, I'm talking to you. She said, you have been seeing this demon. It's been following you through your house. People don't know the torment you've been going through, even your children. And she said, but after this prayer, you will not see those demons anymore. She said, there's one that's been assigned to your house, not even for you, but because you moved there. And because you are a praying woman of God, you are being attacked and your children. And I mean, she walked all through my life story as if, how did this lady know this? She had to be a woman of God, because this what taught me about witches, demons, witchcraft, and all these things that come against people that people try to put out to hurt you. But if you covered under the blood of Jesus, and I remember the man of God saying, it's not through Yahweh or Yeshua, it's through the name Jesus. Because even the word says that by the name of Jesus, that demons tremble. And I began to plead the blood of Jesus in that house. And when she prayed that prayer, it was like something broke off of me. When I went home, I didn't see that spirit following me through the house anymore. My daughter didn't wake up telling me she saw something walking through the house and the dishes move and all this stuff. It is really for real. And just even now, I finished writing my second book, Which Witches Witch. And the director said, I'm not going to do a play that's dealing with witches. And I had to let him know, this book is not about witches, but it's about the demonic spirits that I had to deal with. And it's real even today. And people need to know, they need to be careful of the relationships that they get into. And he was talking about the soul ties. That is so true. It is so true. And I tell you, I have really enjoyed the teaching. I just had to say that before I go clock in for work, that it has really opened up my eyes and reminded me that some of the things we're going through, it is not just we just going through it. We need to get on our knees and pray and fast and get closer to God and know the authority and the power that is in us. We have to do that.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That testimony. Sure appreciate that. The strong testimonies you have.
Yes, it's real.
Yes.
It's real out here. Oh, hold on 1 minute. I'm bringing you in right now, Brother Pedro. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
Good morning. God bless you all. I love you all. Now you guys are touching my favorite subject.
All right.
Okay. You guys are now touching my favorite subject. I remember one time God kept telling me, I always asked God the first time I received him. He said, in my hands I have you. And he goes, then he asked me, what would I like? And that was the hardest question. So, and I'm not, that's a different subject, but I remember when I wanted to know about the Bible, he kept telling me to fast. So I fasted, and I told him to teach me. And what he did, he took my hunger away. So after that, I kept reading the scriptures. Then I was always fascinated about knowing about, because ever since I was little, I always watched monster movies. I was always fascinated about monsters and spirits, and I don't even know why. And they never scared me. They never did since I was a child. And I would say, that I believe, but I think there's a reason why I'm seeing this. As I got older, and now all I did nothing but fast and fast. God kept telling me to fast. I have no clue why. One time, he told me to get up out of my house, and I want you to go to this certain house. And it was a lady. I have no clue. And it's some people that I'd seen every now and then, and God told me to stop. And this is where you're going to work. And I'm like, I'm going to work. And I'm thinking, you know, like a regular job, because my mind, it's been only 2.5 years that I received, about 2 years. And I'm trying to figure out work, and, it's not like a 40-hour job. It was a different type of work. And it was a lady that came from Illinois, and I seen her feet. But when I was fasting, I saw what was in her feet. It was a demon. It was red, and it was always flaring up her feet, and her feet were swelled up. So I know why I'm here, and the lady knew why I was there, too. I didn't even say nothing to this lady. I started, and I brought two other people that were praying, and I was praying over her in Jesus' name, and I noticed that the demon tried to go up to her leg when I touched her feet, and I said, "Well, this is crazy." I thought it was crazy when my first time seeing this, and all of a sudden the demon, that glare was talking to me and said, who are you to take me, spoke to me. And I got kind of spooked out because it said, who are you to take me out of this house? And I'm trying to figure out a house. This is a body. But he called it a house. He goes, I'm here to kill her. And I said, you have no authority. That's what I said. But I was talking in my mind when I was rebuking her. You know, all of a sudden the thing came out of her and came into my hand, and my hands got numb. And then it went down to my feet. It kept going all over my body. And then I was all of a sudden, it didn't last very long. Him attacking me, I kind of vomited the demon out, and I actually saw it go in the air. I saw it go right through the window. And I noticed, now I understand that the fasting and praying, there's and then God was telling me afterwards, you see, there's different ranks, and you have to fast and pray. For every demon, there's another level, and there's a level of spirituality that I'm gonna get you into. And I'm like, oh really? And I'm thinking I'm going crazy, because I asked God, I said, listen, I don't want to be the only one going through this. The next day I had a phone call, and it ain't no coincidence, because God wants you. That's why it's so important to go to church and hear testimony, just to make you feel so secure that you're not the only one that has gone through it. And I'm listening to the teaching this morning. The teaching is accurate, because I don't talk through teaching. I talk because I went through it. I actually went through it. 7 months of rebuking demons. Let me tell you something. It is not the easiest task.
No.
But with God, with Jesus Christ, all things is possible. Everything is possible. And we really need to know there is a spiritual battle. And it's not just our own body, but there's other brothers and sisters that the enemy is trying to take, your loved ones. And if the sooner we acquire Jesus in our life and then receive the Holy Ghost, we need that teaching. That teaching is very important, to realize that the enemy not also wanted to take you down, but your loved ones are not. He wants to abolish love. And rebuking the demon in Jesus' name through fasting and praying, it teaches us. That's why it says we're more than conquerors only through Christ. It is the only way that it's possible, because Christ already did it on the cross.
Amen.
And I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I should have received Christ a long time ago. I really wanted to receive Christ a long time ago, but I thank God that I received Christ now. It is better a little bit later than never at all. But I'll tell you one thing. What I've seen, I'm not the only one. And the demons are real. And whoever's listening, whoever is going through sickness, everything, you don't always have to go to a doctor. You can fast and pray it out. I'm telling you, you can pray it out because I did it. I am a living witness. You can pray those demons out because it always wants you to voice it out and say, oh, I'm sick. As soon as you claim it in the air, you're sick, guess what? The demon now controls you. But if you claim in your heart, while you're sick, and say, I'm healed, it fights you even more. And you can prove it. You can prove this. Say to yourself one day that you're sick, right? You know, just you're coming down with something and claim that you're not sick and watch how worse you get. Hmm. Watch how worse you get. And it starts fighting you. And then you say to yourself, I'm standing in Christ. And Christ is my Lord and Savior. And you claim it just like that. Not even, I don't know if it could be an hour, a half hour, even in seconds. Watch how that the sickness of cold or a pain in the back, it really goes away. I'm telling you, because the enemy wants you to focus on man and not on God. You know, even though medicine is growing, it wants you to keep your mind away from God and go to man. Even though God did give man authority for medicine, but it's not the only way all the time. Not everybody has the money. Sometimes God's put you in a situation when you got no money and get you what you got to do.
Amen.
You got to go to him. You got to go to him. See, every situation, it's for a reason. And that's why we got to thank God. God will do whatever he can to glorify, like Jesus said. Why is that man sick? Oh, no, some are designed for God to be glorified. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew, he designed him to be sick because he knew he was going to heal him in front of everybody. See, we're all his design and we're all his pleasure. But remember, our flesh has to die daily. I'm not going to stop saying that. Our flesh has to die. And only the Holy Ghost. Please receive the Holy Ghost. And it's only through Christ and the baptism and believe it. Faith is true. Faith is the only thing. Believe that he can heal all things and watch how every sickness goes away. AIDS, cancer, a person's arm growing. And I'm telling you, demons will do whatever they can to tell you no. But Christ says, yes, you can.
Amen.
And I'll tell you one thing, brother. Do not stop. Do not stop preaching that, because that's how we become more than conquerors. I tell you, I am a living witness. If anybody calls me a liar, then they're the liar, because they don't believe that Christ became flesh and then died for us and then got resurrected and is in heaven right now.
Amen.
It says it right there in the scripture. Believe it. And I'll tell you one thing. Because if I'm crazy, what about the other million Christians? Then they're crazy. Guess what? I'm crazy with them. Because it says we're peculiar people. We are peculiar people. You know why? We talk about stuff that they don't understand, because we talk about what is spirit and not of flesh. I don't talk about going to clubs. I talk about Christ healing. I'm talking about the true supernatural healing, the way the man sees it. Well, guess what? God sees it in a way that he does all things. He says he works where the impossible. He don't work where it's possible. He works where is this impossible. That's his job. He says, that's what I do. That's what I am. I am that I am. Remember, Christ is the way, and receive the Holy Ghost.
Amen
and
to that.
And the flesh
Amen.
Has to
well,
die
I can, I,
in order to heal. Woo, thank
I
you,
I
can Jesus.
Attest to this. I was in Orlando, and there was this lady, and she heard about me on the job, and I believed in Jesus, and folks was getting saved and healed on the job, and we had a prayer circle going. It got so big, they put us outside of the building. Well, she wanted me to meet this lady. And I went over with her to meet the lady, and this was a huge lady sitting in a chair. And when I walked in the door, she said, oh, I heard about you, Barbara. I hear you're a bad girl. And I wasn't quite understanding, you know, right away, but I picked up on it quickly in a minute. And I said, no, I said, I'm not bad, but, you know, that greater that lives within me than he that is in the world, that's who the baddest of all. This woman rides up out of the chair. Do you hear me? She rises up out of the chair. There was air, about 3 or 4 feet of air between her and the chair. She did that to shake me, to make me scared.
I just looked. I just stood right on there. I wasn't rebuking. I wasn't binding. I wasn't praying. I was just looking because I had picked up on you're trying to make me fearful. But God didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, love, and this most important, a sound mind. And that's all she could do was show me that. And afterwards, she went back down in the chair and she said, oh, you're not afraid. I said, no, there's no need to be. And so we went on talking about something else, and the woman who was with, who took me over, you know, they was looking at each other. And so when we left there, the woman was driving me back to my house because during this time I didn't have a car. And she went to speaking in some kind of tongue, supposed to be. Woo! And I just went right on about my business because I don't know what your point is. I really don't. But great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. And as Tom said earlier, you can't be in Jesus and he's in you and you're cursed. You're fearful. The things that God called you to do, you don't feel you can do them because you're afraid of what others are going to say about you. You're afraid of what others are going to do to you. We was talking, and as soon as Minister Renee went to talking, I could smell spirits in here. And now it's gone, because I sat right on through it. Yeah, sat right on through it, and I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. I feel the Spirit of the Lord right now. Because great is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. He's given us everything we need. He's equipped us. He gave us his word. He gave us power. Love conquers all, believe it or not, because God is love. But we just got to use what God gave us. And that word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So anything you want out your house, you got to bind and loose. Some cases you got to rebuke. And every day, all day, as often as you can remember, invite the Spirit of God in your house. And tell the person, it could be a loved one, you tell them, I speak the Spirit of Almighty God upon you. I speak to you, you receiving the Holy Ghost. I speak to you that you repent and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Oh, yeah, speak it, let it go in the air. He sends spirits, we send the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to do what it set out to do. We speak life, and I believe there's power of life and death in our tongue. And as Tom said, what you speak, that's what you have now. If you're telling somebody to go to hell, okay, well, you're sending them to hell. You said you were the believer. You said you could do all things through Christ who strengthened you. When we come to God, we come to him believing that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we believe the more we seek him, the more he's going to reward us. He said he would give you the desires of your heart. Your desire should be a house where the enemy can't even stand to come there because it's so much power. The word of God is flowing through your house that the devil can't stand it. You talk right all the time. You talk the faith talk all the time. He can't stand that. You're never talking about doubt. You're always talking about faith in God. Yeah. And we would be all, try this thing now. Try this thing. Try talking faith. Ask God to show you the power that he gave you.
Ooh. Thank you.
Ooh, thank you.
Ask to help you to demonstrate real, genuine love of him.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ask him, say, yeah. Lord, let me keep a sound mind. And let this mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. It's a work in being a believer. We don't just believe and do nothing. We believe and go to work. Yeah, we do our part.
Amen.
Because the enemy is always on his job. He sleeps not slumber either. He's not going to rest. He's going to torment you if he can.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That is so true.
It's very true.
Yeah, and this is the way we roll as believers. We're not playing out here. And I hear you, Tom, on that King James. For me, it's the only way to fly. I can't fly with these other Bibles. I tried all of that. I love bees and thous because I know who he's talking about. And anything I don't understand, I go to God and ask him because he gives liberally and upbraideth not.
Yeah,
now, that's what James 1 and 5 told me, and I believe that. Because for years, I've walked in this thing, and he has never failed me. I failed him, and I failed to understand some things because I really didn't want to understand it. I wanted to take longer so I could remain in what I was doing. But if I went to God, and if I go to God with a sincere heart, he's going to hear, and he's going to answer me. So this is where we got to get. And as far as those generation of curses, we got to be careful. He even talked about Dr. Field and all that stuff. Psychology. I went to school and they telling me about a Socrates and how people flock to what he says. But I believe in what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what I believe. Forget Socrates. He was messed up in his head.
He was also an avatar.
That's what he's talking about. Then you had a bunch of others.
That's
and they
right.
don't want you talking about God because they telling me you need to prove everything you do. I'm not proving nothing. What I'm going to prove to you is that I'm a believer and that I diligently seek God and that he's rewarding me daily. When you look at my situation, it looked like it should be another way. But because he lives and because he loves me, because I can do all things through him who strengthened me, it won't work. Nothing but good is coming my way. Something good is about to happen to me right now. I speak that which is positive. I speak that which is righteous. I can't go with foolishness and what people are talking about. My mother had diabetes. On my dad's side, it was quite a few on that side of the family that had diabetes. The doctors say I had pre-diabetes. Because diabetes could never take me over. Ah, glory to you, God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creature in Christ. Diabetes couldn't do nothing with me. They said I had high blood pressure, but every time I go to the doctor, she said, oh, your pressure is wonderful. Why? It can't take over me. I'm his today. Greater is living inside of me. All the power is living inside of me. I received him one day for myself. I repented, went to the altar and repented. Asked him to come into my heart and live forever. I gave him my will. I told him, not my will, but your will, God. Let your will be my will and my will be your will in my life. He gave me this gift of love. I began to love people. He gave me the gift of giving. I began to give to people. This stuff can't do nothing with me. Greater is living inside. I'm blessed. Feet swell up. You take a water pill. Get the water out your body. You're retaining water because you're eating too much salt. Not that I'm cursed. I got to watch my diet. I'm 57 years old. I can't eat like I'm 16 no more. This body been here a while. You know how long a 57 years is worth of digesting food and some food it can't digest. And you got to drink some vinegar or something to help it to die. That's a lot of work in there. I'm not cursed. I'm blessed. And if I feel like I got indigestion, drink some apple cider vinegar and watch what happens. It does more for me than digest my food. And it's all natural. No medications from the doctor.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm telling you this morning?
Amen.
The people in the house putting the food, put the word to them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Fighting a natural battle. Put the word of God to them. And let them know I'm fasting and praying for you. And I speak the blessings of God on your life.
Glory.
And I cast those curses and spirits off of you back to the pits of hell this day in the name of Jesus. And mean that name.
Thank
you.
You
watch
Jesus.
What happened in your house. Because some people come from a long line of liars. They come from a long line of drug abusers. They come from a long line of abuse. They come from a long line of what this thing is, alcoholic and all this stuff. But not for me. Because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been born again. See, that first birth carry all this stuff. But the new birth, where Jesus Christ rebirthed me, it don't carry nothing but the blessings of God. Oh, I'm going to have some trials.
Yeah.
But they only come to make me strong. If I don't go through something, I won't know anything. So I have to go through some things to learn some things. But once I learn it, now I got even more power.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I'm okay today in Jesus' name. No matter what may come my way. Life is in his hands. That's what you got to tell yourself. With Jesus, I can make it. With him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in his hands. And if anything take me on out of here, just know this. To be absent, I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving for people right now. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to be with him. So if I die, it's okay.
That's true.
It's okay. I'm going to take my rest. I'm tired. I'm tired of even seeing children abused. I'm tired of seeing the elderly abused. I'm tired of seeing women abused. I'm tired of seeing divorce. So if I go and take my rest, it's my time. Oh, but one day he's going to call my name. And when I answer, I'm going to stand before him. And I'm looking forward to well done, that good and faithful servant. I stayed faithful. I didn't give up because things was coming my way. I didn't give up because I saw the same thing my granddaddy doing, my son doing it. I didn't give up. I stayed faithful to God. I stayed faithful to his word. I stayed faithful to fasting and praying. I may not have been faithful to a building, but I was faithful to Almighty God.
Amen.
And that's where it counted the most. I wasn't faithful to nobody's church. I can't tell you that. But I've been faithful unto what he called me to do. And when he speaks, I'm faithful at listening. It takes something to get something. So some days he takes me through some trials. But they come to make me strong, and it gives me more power. Huh? And I feel all right about it right now. Greater today is he that lives within me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
It's not about what you're talking about today. It's about him.
That's right.
He made us all for his pleasure. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you this morning. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your love. And God, we thank you for a sound mind in you today. We thank you for keeping us, not against our will, but you keep us because we want to be kept. And as we depart this morning, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help every listener and every caller to break the generational curse through you, through your word, through fasting. Do it today. Show your people, God. Lord, give them wisdom, knowledge, and an understanding on what was brought their way this morning because they are held accountable because they heard. Do it today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Move by your spirit for your people. And, Father, we thank you this morning. If there's any unforgiveness in any of us, Father, we ask that you would bring it to the light and that you would help us to forgive like never before. Help us to forgive those, God, who have done things to us. Many are holding on to it for years and years. But, Father, let this be the day that they let go of unforgiveness. Let this be the day, God, that they really allow you to be the Lord of their lives. They bury their flesh. They kill their flesh so that you can live through them. Or today, in the name of Jesus. Bless Tom for obedience and bringing a blessed message. Oh, God, we knew it would be something powerful because the enemy fought so hard not to get him to come today. But we know that your will be done. Hallelujah. And you won't withhold no good thing from us. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for extra time on Blog Talk. We thank you right now. We give you glory, honor, and all the praise. Father, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
All right, Brother Ron, I'm trying to bring you in. My whole thing, phone, is not responding. But give it just a few minutes, and we're going to see if I can get in here and bring you in this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank God. We thank God. Because listen, I know many people see what other people have, and they so desire it. I've seen this many times. But what people don't know is what other people had to do to get that stuff. A lot of it carried witchcraft. A lot of it carried the spirit of a whore, the spirit of Jezebel.
Yep.
Because of what they had to do to get it. Some people went to what they call the two-headed people, the root worker, the witch doctor. They're wearing charms and all this kind of stuff. But we're looking over their end and what they have. And you get that stuff and get it to your house, and you're going to have the same problems or worse than they have. He said, soul ties, cut that stuff. This is why fornication, we should do it. Because when you go to who, going with who you're not married to, and what takes place is left in you, women, and men, you're wearing that woman on you. So we got to be careful.
That's true.
Many folks have allowed it to happen, and now they're in fornication, or they've been there and they're battling to get out, but they still don't want to let that person go because that soul ties. Many men and women, if you lay with that person, it's going to be hard to cut it loose. This is why he said, don't let fornication be once named among us. He touched on so many things this morning. He had to ask me if I was saying something because I was trying to muffle so I wouldn't scream. Because he was hitting points of importance. Hallelujah. I'm trying to wait on it, Brother Ron. It won't let me back in here this morning. I mean, this whole thing just froze up, not responding. But nonetheless, I'll get you right off first thing in the morning, Brother Ron, because we've been going off the air, but we're still recording. But I will get you in first thing in the morning. First time I see your hand raised in the studio, I will bring you right in because I know you want to tell us something this morning. All right, but let's pray out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for all that has been said and done. We thank you for your word, Lord, for your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our feet. And this word that you have brought through Tom this morning, God, it lights our way. And it educates us and it teaches us. And this is what it's all about. That your people don't perish for the lack of knowledge. You sent knowledge this morning to us. Help us to heed and hold on and never forget in the name of Jesus. But, Father, we are humans and humans forget. But we need you to remind us, Lord. Or do it, God, for your glory in the name of Jesus. As we depart this morning, Father, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener. Bless their households and their families today. Bless those that are on the job or have to go to work, those that are coming through the archives and the social media websites. God, move by your spirit for these your people. We ask this today in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.
May the Lord watch me and thee while we are absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. I enjoyed this show this morning.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming, Tom. Sister Linda, God bless you, baby. I thank you for reminding me to bring Tom. I have enjoyed this day. Hallelujah. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.